Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. Let's pray again. Oh God, thank you again for the gift of your word. We come needy now, hungry and thirsty for it. We pray that you strengthen us by it and give us the strength we need to obey it and put it into practice in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Some of you may recognize the name Francis Collins. Collins is the director of the National Institutes of Health, one of the foremost medical research centers in the world. He's the longest serving NIH director. He was appointed by President Obama in 2008 and was reappointed to continue serving by President Trump. And like so many others during this situation, Collins has been doing most of his work from home, from his office, where on his desk he has a printed copy of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Now that verse is not only an expression of Francis Collins' own faith, but an indication of how he's been heavily engaged in the dialogue between faith and science. In fact, he's become one of the leading voices in the effort to try to integrate scientific perspectives with spiritual perspectives. About two decades ago, he was heading up the Human Genome Project, and he said, "I think of God as the greatest scientist. We human scientists have an opportunity to understand the elegance and wisdom of God's creation in a way that is truly exhilarating. When a scientist discovers something that no human knew before, but God did, that is both an occasion for scientific excitement and for a believer also an occasion for worship. It makes me sad that we have slipped into a polarized stance between science and religion that implies that a thinking human being could not believe in the value of both. There is no rational basis for that polarization. I find it completely comfortable to be both a rigorous scientist who demands to see the data before accepting anybody's conclusions about the natural world, and also a believer whose life is profoundly influenced by the relationship I have with God." Now, in an atmosphere where science and faith often seem to clash with each other, it helps to have knowledge of Francis Collins' life and pursuits that demonstrate how rigorous scientific work and vital faith, knowledge of God, can be integrated in fruitful and meaningful ways. During an interview earlier this month, Collins was asked, "When you lie in bed at night, what gives you hope for the next 50 or 100 years for humanity? What are the really hard problems that test your optimism and your faith?" And Collins answered, "Boy, that's a big one. What is our future? I don't want to see a future where this science versus faith conflict leads to a winner and a loser." Now, what better place to test that theory than during a pandemic, the kinds of circumstances that we're facing right now? In one respect, we hear a lot about the value and the necessity of science. Follow the science is what many folks tell us. The public officials, medical experts, news reporters urge us to follow the science. In other words, the ways that we respond to COVID-19, whether it's individually or collectively, need to be shaped and guided by the data, the trends, the projections generated by scientific research and analysis. We need to pay attention to what the experts say about the coronavirus. And many of the experts are trained in science and science-related fields. So if we're going to make it through and out of this situation, we'll need the contributions of science. But from a Christian standpoint, I think we also have to keep in mind that science alone can't help us navigate the pandemic. We also need the resources of faith. We need the kind of acts of worship or traditions or practices that constitute our reliance on the presence of God and the power of God. And especially in that respect, we need the Word of God. And the Word of God is the subject in our scripture passage that I read from Psalm 119. Our text today is just one section of this very lengthy psalm. The psalmist opens our passage by saying, "Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them." It's interesting to hear the psalmist describe God's word as wonderful, filled with wonder. The Hebrew term has to do with something at which you marvel, something that fills you with awe, something that's miraculous. The same word is used numerous other times in the Psalms to refer to God's wonder-filled work of redeeming his people from Egypt and bringing them out in deliverance. So God's word is wonder-filled. It's how God comes to us to redeem us, to work upon us, to help us live more into the new identity that we have through Jesus Christ. He does that through his word. And as we heed God's instructions and are obedient to his ways, we do that not simply because God says, "Okay, here are the rules, now obey them," but because God's word has wonder-working power in our lives. It fills us with awe, with wonder. So Christians, in one respect, we're people who have a sense of wonder about God and about how God is present, acting in our lives and in the world. I think that in itself should put us in a posture of openness toward scientific exploration, which often you'll find generates a sense of wonder among folks who pursue it or work in those kinds of fields. Author Andy Crouch, his wife is a physicist, and he says, "If there's one personality characteristic of the vast majority of scientists I have met, it is delight. There is something about science that attracts people who are fascinated and thrilled by the world." And then he goes on to say, "In many scientists, delight is matched by wonder, a sense of astonishment at the beautiful, ingenious complexity to be found in the world." And there are even lots of scientists who don't adhere to a particular faith, who acknowledge the intricacy and the complexity and the marvel and the structure and the intricacy of the world. And you add to that the fact that you don't have to be a scientist yourself in order to marvel and to be in awe and fascinated by the world. Tend to the flowers in your garden. Watch the deer alongside the road out there in the field. Listen to the rhythm of the waves there on the beach. Take time to stare at the night sky. I heard a radio broadcast recently where the person being interviewed was talking about how in the midst of being locked down or closed in, we often overlook the fact that we can just step outside and look up and have a wonderful gift before us to help us remember that there's still great beauty in this world. In some parts of the world, the coronavirus pandemic has helped bring about a drop in air pollution, which has made certain stars or other things in the sky more visible and awe-inspiring to lots of people. Maybe you were among the folks who got up early or stayed up late recently to try to get a glimpse of Comet Neowise, which won't be back for another 6,800 years. So it's a good opportunity to try to see it. One astronomer put it this way: in spite of the really difficult times right now, it's a reminder that we're part of a bigger universe, and there are some really wonderful and beautiful things in it. So whether you're looking through a microscope in a university lab or staring through a telescope in your backyard, wonder and awe may not be far away. And the same thing we're told is true when you open the scriptures. The psalmist reminds us that we're called to a sense of wonder, a sense of awe, when we consider the reality that God has disclosed himself to us, revealed his will to us, made his ways known to us. That's not something minor or to be taken for granted. God's word isn't just a matter of God transmitting divine information to us or giving heavenly ideas to us. It's about God disclosing himself to us, making himself known to us, engaging with us, getting involved with us out of love for us and for the world that he's made. That's a source of awe and inspiration and wonder. God's word is God's way of being present to us, giving himself to us. He's not just trying to give us rules or information. He's giving us in his word himself so that we may know him in love and reconciliation through Christ. And he can transform us into what he intends us to be. Now, the supreme manifestation of that, of course, is Jesus Christ himself, who is the Word, God's Word in flesh. Remember some of the words I read earlier from Colossians. He, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible. So all of creation isn't necessarily visible. There's more to it. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now that's a pretty vast description of who Christ is and what Christ does. His work embraces all of creation, and our understanding of creation is enhanced, it's enriched, it's expanded by developments and findings in science. Science sheds incredible light on the patterns and the structures and the mysteries of this creation that we're told God is reconciling us to himself in Christ, his whole creation. Some of you here today have backgrounds or education or careers in science. Here in the presence of God worshiping today. Some of you, when school starts back up at whatever grade or age level, will be studying in scientific fields this school year. And one of the ways that Christian congregations can promote a more fruitful dialogue between faith and science, which as I said earlier is often a battleground, is by affirming and encouraging those in the pews who study and work in scientific fields in one way or another. There's a man named David Bradstreet. He's an award-winning scientist and astronomy professor, and he describes how his church helped him find and experience his calling in science. He talks about how, as a boy, he would spend winter nights in the backyard of his family's Massachusetts home, staring up at the sky through a telescope made out of a cardboard tube and a rickety aluminum tripod. Fortunately, he says, both my family and my bigger church family lovingly embraced the somewhat obsessive junior astronomer, he calls himself, in their midst. It wasn't until years later that I realized how different things might have been if I had grown up in a church that condemned science and discouraged believers from working in astronomy. I still can't understand why some Christians turn their backs on a discipline that powerfully demonstrates the majesty of our Creator. Now, even if you're not a scientist or don't work in a scientific field, or even if you're still skeptical about science in different kinds of ways, the fact is that we all benefit from it in different ways on a daily basis, in a multitude of ways. The devices we use, the food we eat, the medicines we take, the cars we drive, the homes that we now spend more time in, all of these things and many more are at least partially the fruit of diligent scientific research and work and exploration. Science is woven into our lives in more ways than we realize. We look to it for knowledge. We look to it for understanding. We look to it for guidance. We look to it for answers. So science, in addition to its great potential, we also need to remember today, also has its limits. It has potential, but also limits. We've experienced some of those limits during the coronavirus pandemic. Have you noticed that not all the scientists agree with each other? Not all the medical research yields complete agreement in data. Sometimes the conclusions reached are conflicting. We call it the novel coronavirus because it is new, which means there's still lots that we've learned about it, still though lots we haven't learned about it and are in the process of learning about it as well. Science is shedding more and more light on these kinds of questions and will likely eventually lead us to a vaccine. But I think that even then, we won't be in a position to say that science has given us all the answers or solved all the problems. The fact is that not all the light that we need during dark times like this can be provided by science alone. That's important. Not all the light that we need during times and situations like this can be provided by science alone, even with all its benefits. What does the psalmist say? The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So we give thanks for the insights and the gifts that come from science in all sorts of ways, but we also acknowledge that the world that we live in and the life that we live in it is very multi-layered and complex and multi-dimensional. And to navigate our way through this reality, especially in times like this, we also need the resources of faith, especially the Word of God. God's will revealed. God's ways shown to us, most of all through Jesus Christ, is an astonishing kind of thing that illuminates our lives, gives us a kind of knowledge in and of itself, a kind of knowledge that goes beyond devices or digits or data, all the value that those things bring, but the Word of God gives a kind of knowledge that goes beyond those. And when it comes to matters of meaning, purpose, morality, those kinds of things, we need the knowledge of God. And that kind of knowledge often takes us outside the lab and it takes us into life where we learn how to experience the love of God and relationship with God and relationship with one another. That's a big part of where faith comes into play. I like the way that two scientists have put it when they write, "Our ultimate significance in life the inner sense of the infinite that we possess, our final purpose and destiny. These are topics on which science is silent, but our faith is loud. So, as the coronavirus pandemic goes on, may our faith, while it gives thanks for all the benefits and gifts of science and the work of science, may our faith also continue to be loud. Loud, not in the sense of always combative or abrasive about matters of science, but loud in the sense of strong, but also humble and open to and welcome to learning and exploring and welcoming the light that science gives us, and yet all the while remembering most of all the light that the Word of God gives us and the knowledge of God that comes through the Word of God, and how we need the knowledge of God and the gifts and resources of faith and the understanding that gives us as well. Let's pray together. God, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, creator and savior, thank you for this marvelous world that you've made. The awe and wonder it inspires in us as we learn more about it and explore it. Thank you for making us with intellectual curiosity and a desire to explore and learn and grow and know. Thank you most of all for making yourself known to us through your word in Jesus Christ. Guide each of us as we navigate through this time, especially when there's conflict or combativeness between science and faith. Help us to continue to grow into both. And we pray especially for those here in our own fellowship, in churches throughout our community, in your church throughout the world, people who study in and work in and have careers in fields of science. We pray that you guide them in their work as they help increase our knowledge and increase, we pray too, their knowledge of you. Help us to continue to know you by faith, trusting in your unfailing love that reconciles us to yourself through Jesus Christ, so that in all these things we may give you praise and glory, our Creator and Savior. Amen.